Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be, and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd, who still reportedly, on his Instagram, he's trying to grow a beard and seems to be defeated by it. 5 days in, it's a stubble. And Colin's got some quit in him. I saw a quit coming. Joel Klatt will join us in 15 minutes. We'll get his take on the president trying to, I'm sure, score points in the Midwest, in some swing states, and through the help of Clay Travis, believe it or not, have the Big Ten have all the resources at the disposal of the federal government and play some football. Could it actually happen? Dan Patrick, also Fox Sports Radio, precedes this show. He reported earlier today that October 10th is their target date, and the reason why October 10th, because they could still play in the college football playoff. So there's a bunch of college football to discuss, as well as, hey, we got college football games, actually one already being played and more coming up this week. We got a lot to get to. Let me start with this. Everyone is talking about this Kirk Cousins quote, and the money quote is, even if I die, I die. Huh? Kirk Cousins. Wow, man. When you think of Kirk Cousins, what do you think of? When I read this quote, I think of he's a wild man. Or you start thinking about Rocky IV, right? Rocky IV. Remember Apollo Creed in what's supposed to be an exhibition? Comes in, I live in America. Right? Remember that? Ivan Drago hits him so hard that he actually died, and they ask Ivan Drago, if it dies, it dies. So there's a little combo of Wild Man and Drago when you read it. If I die, I die. I'm going to be okay. If I die, I die. Can I have peace with that? Tough guy. And that's what we've all gone on. Right? I'm about 0.0001. I want to respect others' concern. Me, personally, no one... if you're talking no one else can get the virus, what is your concern? You could get it. I'd say I'm going to go about my daily life. If I get it, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to let nature take its course. Survival of the fittest kind of approach. And just if it knocks me out, it knocks me out. I'm going to be okay. If I die, I die. And that is, period, stop, what we've done. See, Kirk Cousins ain't scared of this. Tom Brady ain't scared of this. Anti-maskers. It's a hoax, right? Coronavirus hoax guy is somehow now wearing a Kirk Cousins purple jersey and wearing one of those Viking helmets and blowing a Viking horn. But there's actually more to the quote. Here's the podcast with Kyle Brandt. Here's the entirety of the quote. Take a listen.
I want to respect what other people's concerns are, but for me personally, if you're just talking, no one else can get the virus. What is your concern? If you could get it, I would say I'm going to go about my daily life. If I get it, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to let nature do its course. Survival of the fittest kind of an approach, and just say, if it knocks me out, it knocks me out. I'm going to be okay. Even if I die, I die. I kind of have peace about that. So that's really where I fall on it. So my opinion, wearing a mask and is really about being respectful to other people. It really has nothing to do with my own personal thoughts.
Right. I mean, there's a little bit of a contradiction there, right? Where if there's no, how could you transmit a disease if it's not possible for you to spread it sort of thing? I could nitpick it. But the point is that Kirk Cousins is saying kind of what we've all been saying. Even if you're not concerned for your own health, you wear a mask because you're concerned about everybody else. And the idea that you don't want to spread it so that we can all get back to regular life, right? It's actually a very reasonable way of looking at it where he's not afraid. He's not saying that he's afraid. He's not saying that he has any sort of fear of whether he gets, doesn't get it. Should be pointed out, he's got little ones at home And there's a certain amount of fear there because it's most dangerous to people over 60 and under one and under, right? And then, of course, compromised immune systems and so forth, which he doesn't have. But this is who we've become. Take a portion of the quote and use it to energize our side of the story. Well, that ain't right. If I listen to the entire quote, or if I read it, like if I read it and it says survival of the fittest kind of approach, if it knocks me out, knocks me out. I'm going to be okay. If I die, I die. Kind of have peace about that, right? That's how it reads to you. Take a listen to it one more time. It sounds a lot less confrontational and a lot more reasonable when you actually listen to the sound.
I want to respect what other people's concerns are, but for me personally, if you're just talking, no one else can get the virus. What is your concern? If you could get it, I would say I'm going to go about my daily life. If I get it, I'm going to ride it out. I'm going to let nature do its course. Survival of the fittest kind of an approach, and just say, if it knocks me out, it knocks me out. I'm going to be okay. You know, even if I die, I die. I kind of have peace about that. So that's really where I fall on it. So my opinion, you know, wearing a mask and is really about being respectful to other people. It really has nothing to do with my own personal thoughts,
which is the breaking point in so many of these discussions. Look, I personally believe that college football players are better off playing football for their universities than being anywhere else on earth. Anything else? Why would you think that? Well, first, you have all the resources at your disposal when you're going to football practice every day, right? You just do. You have team doctors, you have trainers, you have whatever, so you can get checked. And whether or not you get tested every day or you simply get temperature checked, but if you get sick, they can immediately treat you and begin the process of trying to help you kind of get through it. And once you get over it, you can continue kind of that rehab process. Additionally, you're held accountable by your coaches and by your teammates to not go out at night, to not run the risk of getting. And it might not be for you. This is what Kirk Cousins is saying. It's not necessarily just for you. It could be for that one teammate that has sickle cell trait. It could be for that one teammate that is more likely to contract it and get myocarditis than it is for you. You don't have to be scared for you, but you have to be respectful of the possibility of spreading it to somebody who should have a rightful fear of it because they do have some underlying health issue. That's the whole argument. And I understand our selfish culture. My phone is not called a Wii phone, it's called an iPhone. Right? It is mine. iPhone, YouTube, right? And what are the pictures we take now we never took before? Selfies. I mean, Facebook is just adult show and tell. Let me tell you how great my life is. Here's a picture. Here's a picture of me 5 years ago. Awesome then, awesome now. That's who we are. We have bred a selfish culture, right? And Kirk Cousins is like, look, for me, like, I'm good. I'm okay with it. If I get sick, something happens, like, I'll figure it out. I'll fight it. But it's not just about me. That's the whole argument. Now, you want to make sure that you're not too overly cautious and think of everybody else instead of you, right? That's a hard thing because there are people in this world that think so much of everyone else, they never think of themselves, and then they hold it against everybody else for never thinking of them, right? Well, why didn't you think of me? Wait, you weren't thinking of you. Why should I think of you? But taking only half of Kirk Cousins' quote and using the "vadai, I die" as if he has some sinister stare down with the coronavirus and he thinks it's all a hoax is completely disingenuous when you even read and especially when you listen to the quote in its entirety. Coming up next, Joel Klatt will be our guest. If anyone's going to know if the Big Ten's going to play football, it's Joel. He's the lead college football analyst for Fox Sports. We're going to have football in the Big Ten? We'll find out next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, wherever you're listening. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. You know, Joel Klatt is going to not join us today. He is completely swamped, which I understand. And like, look, here's a big part of the issue, okay, is,
when I was a kid.
What was your childhood like? Like, you try and describe to a child. Have you ever been in an airport and you see a payphone? Kids, what is that? They're like, I have no idea what that is. Like, that is a payphone. How does it work? You take a coin, you put one in, a couple of them in, whatever, you dial, and it's a phone. Like, why would you do that? You have a cell phone. Listen, it used to be, and what happens if you don't have a coin? First of all, who carries change? I'll never forget my dad. My dad could never sneak up on anybody. One, he wore these Florsheim dress shoes, and he probably kind of dragged his feet. If you knew my late father, he had a little bit of a strut when he walked. But he also would always have change in his pocket. So he'd get out of his car, Buick, close the door, right? Like, old man's home. No sneaking up on anybody. There was no ninja. He had no ninja mode at all. If you didn't have the change, you would call collect, and you know, there was a way to which you'd call collect where they'd hang up and call you back. And especially once it became automated, you would give them the number, and in the message, you have a collect call from 999-999-7254. And they'd call you back at that number. But when we were kids, I don't know, it did feel simpler and maybe easier. You got one piece of information. Hurricane coming. Get out of the way. Flu, get a shot. We didn't have a pandemic, but we didn't have all these different ways of getting the exact same news. And when we get the news now, though it's great, like you can get personalized local news, national news, you can get foreign news, you can get whatever. You just get different ways of looking at the exact same problem. Like, I look at the stats and the data, and then I try and decipher it. I'm not a scientist. I wasn't very good at statistics. I don't know what it all means. Well, the hospitalizations are down, the deaths are down, but the positive tests are up, and there's, like, I don't know. So on one level, on one hand, there are plenty of states who are doing pretty well, and the curve that was flattened, that then spiked back up when we opened things up, is now being flattened again. On the other hand, there are some disturbing trends. California is still in the midst of it, doing better, planning to open up the salons and barbers and indoor malls. I saw Connecticut, one of the first hot spots, of course. Look, they're doing better and their schools are open, but there's also some caution there, and you have to quarantine if you go to, I think it's like 33 different states for like 14 days. The state of Iowa is like the one state, like, hey, we stayed open the whole time. But now their numbers aren't great. And I just saw this story from Bruce Feldman, who, of course, covers college football for Fox Sports. Iowa State has decided to change the decision regarding fans in September 12th home game. Jamie Pollard, the athletic director, says after weighing the feedback Iowa State's president has received from the community, she's decided to reverse her decision. As a result, play season opener without fans. The Pac-12 not playing, not really discussing playing. The Big Ten is interesting because they were the first ones to get out in front of it. We're not playing. We don't think it's safe. Then there was a lot of pushback. The Pac-12 got on board. They thought everybody was going to get on board. The Big Ten looks a little bit like Jerry Maguire. A little bit like Jerry Maguire. From this standpoint, do you guys remember Jerry Maguire? Actually, it's interesting that this is the reference I thought of because I watched Jerry Maguire with one of my 14-year-old daughters last week. Like, we all remember You Complete Me, right? And The Quan, and show me the money. And you're not going to make me cry, Roy. You're not going to make me cry. By the way, the contract that in that movie, arguably best wide receiver in the NFL received, was 4 years, $11 million. You're going to get to stay in Arizona where you played in college as a Sun Devil and where you played as a pro. You're not going to make me cry, Roy. You know, 4 years, $11 million? Like, man, that's league minimum type stuff now. But if you remember the scene in Jerry Maguire, he wrote this memo about it being about less clients and more personal attention, more care, right? And then he got fired at lunch by his understudy, who then proceeded to take all of his clients except for two and ultimately became one. You guys remember that? And when he was walking out of the office one last time, he took two goldfish, his bag, and said, "Who's coming with me?" And he thought, because when he wrote the memo, everybody's like, "Man, Jerry, great memo, huh? Finally, somebody says it. Finally, huh? Finally, somebody said what we're all thinking." The Big Ten was like, "Who's coming with me?" And right now, the Pac-12 looks like Renee Zellweger. She wasn't a secretary. I'm sorry. She wasn't an assistant. She was in accounting. Just remember, Renee Zellweger was in accounting. But that's essentially the Pac-12, is they're in accounting. Like, "I believe in you, Jerry, and we're going to make this work. Or I'll take that job in San Diego." And he thought there'd be a line of people behind him, and there weren't. That's the Big Ten. You know, and I think, look, I'm a dad, and I become a frustrated dad sometimes because, and we parent differently than our parents parented, but, you know, one of the things that I really respect about my parents were, if whatever my mom made for dinner, you were eating for dinner or you were eating for breakfast. Anybody have that? Okay, so I will point out that my mom's from Connecticut. We were a Jewish family, and there were some delicacies, things they liked, that liver and onions. Your parents ever make liver and onions? Yeah, it's as gross as it sounds. You know what's even worse than liver and onions for dinner? Liver and onions for breakfast, because you didn't eat them the night before. Ah, here's another one. This one's going to make you, and I know it's lunchtime in lots of places around the country, beef tongue. And tongue not only sounds gross, the presentation is disgusting, right? Like, I think she boiled it and she'd like leave it right on the table in this like serving tray. And there's just a big tongue. Now, if you actually don't know it's a tongue and you close your eyes and you cut it, kind of has a bologna taste and you dip it in like mustard and you're like, yeah, it's not bad. But then you're like, tongue. Ugh! But my parents' rule was basically this: you don't have to like it. You got to try it once. Anybody had that? Okay. I think that's our biggest disappointment in the Big Ten. Like, and maybe it's an unrealistic disappointment, because the reality is, if you tried it, you're losing so much financially. Like, you're losing money. If anything, the Big Ten is doing something that is honorable. Hey, we're protecting our student athletes. We're willing to lose money, maybe lose recruits, maybe lose a little bit of standing. Because if you think back, right now we think of the Big Ten Conference as just below the SEC in terms of quality of football, right? There's the SEC, there's Clemson, right? SEC and Clemson. You're waiting for the other ACC powers, Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech, to get back to the level of a Clemson to be competitive. And then you got the Big Ten, which is Ohio State, and then just below it, Michigan, Penn State, maybe Wisconsin, right? But there, if you think back, you go back five years ago, outside of Ohio State, like, the conference was seen as just too thick-legged, too slow, couldn't compete with the SEC, the Pac-12, the Big 12. There's basically now SEC, Clemson, Big Ten, and then Big 12, Pac-12, rest of ACC, et cetera. And it's an honorable thing the Big Ten's trying to do. Hey, man, this is about everybody's health. This is about everybody. This is about not caring about the star player or winning championships or filling up stadiums. It's a public health crisis, and we don't want our student-athletes running the risk of contracting something which may or may not do mortal harm to them now, but could be a problem in the future. And, yeah, there's a little CYA, a little cover in their booties. We don't want to get sued either. So there's that. They want to do kind of the right thing, the moral thing, which is what Jerry Maguire was like. Hey, why are we just about getting clients and charging them as high a percentage as we can and not having personal care and kind of BSing our way through it? But as we said with Alvin Kamara, be careful of walking out that door with your goldfish thinking that there's 15 people behind you. Because the SEC and the Big 12 are doing the easy thing. Hey, man, let's just try. Let's just go. Let's just go push through it. We'll figure it out as we go. And it will be fascinating to see if the Big Ten changes course. Because as much as the information you're getting is, hey, it's getting better, here's Iowa State. Like, yeah, actually, we're going to keep people out of the stadium. So which is it? Is it totally safe or is it not? I believe it's safe for the student athletes. But you can't put a stadium full of people when no other sport is putting a stadium full of people. And you have that massive endowment, you run the risk of somebody getting sick and then suing the university. Let's get to Ryan Music with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, Doug. Plenty of college football talk there, so we're going to turn our attention to the NFL right now. We're going to do two stories in one to start off. Two NFL teams announcing their quarterback status leading into week one. We'll start with your Los Angeles Chargers. Head coach Anthony Lynn confirming today, week one starter. No surprise here, Tyrod Taylor.
Look, I actually feel good about Tyrod Taylor. I mean, not having Derwin James is going to be devastating to the Chargers. As good as Joey Bosa is getting that new contract, as deserved as it is. Obviously, they're trying to figure out the Melvin Ingram thing because he wants a new contract. After getting one, he's not going to get one. That's a talented team. What held the Chargers back last year was actually Phillip Rivers. It just was. His immobility, Tyrod Taylor's mobile, and his inability to not turn the football over. I'm not telling you that Tyrod Taylor is a great quarterback, but in terms of what they didn't have last year, they have in Tyrod Taylor and in what they want this offense to metamorphosize itself into. My big question is, he's got really talented skill position players from Mike Williams to Austin Eckler to Keenan Allen. Hunter Henry at tight end. They got dudes. Will Tyrod Taylor throw the football enough to keep all those guys happy and to get the most out of their resources? I don't know. But I think his mobility and the fact he doesn't turn it over, I think he keeps the job the whole year as long as, you know, they're in the race to be in the playoffs. The problem becomes they're built around not turning it over, running the football, being solid, and then having a spectacular defense. You lose Derwin James, that changes your progress altogether.
Obviously, you're referencing him holding onto the starting job, given the fact that they had a high draft pick in Justin Herbert out of Oregon. So not expected to be on the field week one. We'll see how long it takes before, if he ever does get on the field this season. The part two to this one was another football team in the NFL. The Washington football team made their announcement on Twitter, posting a picture of Dwayne Haskins saying quarterback one, QB one. So it looks like Dwayne Haskins is going to be the starter at the beginning of the season for Washington. Obviously, had an up-and-down rookie season. The remarkable comeback of Alex Smith. Obviously not game-ready. Fairly surprising that he's even in the conversation to play professional football again. But looks like they're going to go with Dwayne Haskins as of right now.
Well, look, that's obviously something we all thought would happen, and he's going to have a chance to keep or lose the job. But remember, he wasn't drafted by this head coach, by this front office, and he has a chance to be the guy for a long time if he can really play. The question becomes, can they protect him? Can he get the time? When he can throw, he can really throw. But he's not crazy mobile, and he struggled to pick up the offense last year. We'll see. You look at the Redskins schedule, and again, it's going to be hard to... Sorry, I say Redskins? My bad. Washington football team schedule.
Formally.
Right? I mean, it's not easy. Open with the Eagles. Then they go to Arizona and take on the Cardinals, who everybody think is a lot... That's a lot of people's pick to be a surprise playoff caliber team. And then they play the Cleveland Browns, and then they play the Ravens, and then they play the Rams before they get the Giants. Like, that is not an easy schedule. I'm going to bet that Dwayne Haskins is not the quarterback the entirety of the season.
Mm. Wow.
Not the entirety of the season.
Wow. So you think... So do you think it's Alex Smith actually goes out there under center?
I think Kyle Allen's got a chance to play some because he really knows what they want to do. He came over from Carolina. Obviously, they traded for him, and they didn't really need to. And
he
yeah,
had an up and down.
The chance... He did, but at least... And they may paint it as, hey, we're going to give him a couple weeks to just learn. I just... That's going to be really, really difficult for them. Eagles should be much better. You know, healthy Eagles, they should be really good. Cardinals, Browns, like the Browns on paper,
yeah,
nasty, especially
their
the defensive
offense
front.
Was a mess last year, but the defense was solid.
Yes.
Yeah, they had a really solid defense.
And then they get the Ravens?
Yeah, obviously we know how good that is.
Yikes. By the way, here's what sucks, and this is you finally get Ravens. Washington football team in regular season. I think the Jets and the Giants should play each other every year. The Rams and the Chargers should play each other every year. The Washington and the Ravens should, like, those teams should, but you finally, and you probably won't have fans in the stands for that game.
Yeah.
That'll stink for the fans.
The other interesting thing here, sticking with the Washington football team, ESPN has sent out a notice that they will be airing interviews from several former employees of the organization regarding the wide-ranging accusations that have been made against former employees, current employees, the owner Dan Snyder. When we talk about Dwayne Haskins, we know that Haskins was specifically drafted because
he went to high school with Snyder's kid.
Correct. And while when everything initially happened, you and I agreed, it didn't look like any of the accusations that were made against people in the organization meant that he was going to have to sell the team. But now Washington Post has done a follow-up article. Now it looks like ESPN is doing interviews with more people. I don't know if he'll be forced to sell, but it's certainly trending much more towards they're heading that direction as opposed to, hey, this whole thing's going away.
I mean, unless there's some sort of proof that he knew about some of these issues and did nothing about it, or he was involved, I don't see it as something he's going to have to sell for.
I agreed with you. At first, when this whole thing broke, the football team announced they were doing their own internal investigation.
Right.
Since the second follow-up article by the Washington Post, the NFL has now officially stepped in and said, we're going to do our own investigation.
Right, public pressure.
Right, they may turn up nothing, but it's certainly, like I said, heading towards trying to uncover something as opposed to sweeping it under the rug and moving on from it.
I don't know enough about, like, based upon what I've read so far.
Currently, up to this point.
Until I read something else, I'm assuming, you know, because the NFL stepping in means nothing. The NFL could step in because Washington did their own investigation. Like, yeah, the people that we found out were doing this, we got rid of. And they were like, really? Well, we got to investigate too. Otherwise, it looks bad. Might be just for optics. So we don't know.
That's true. Fair point. And let's do some NBA here, Doug. Some Twitter sleuthing. Some trending topics on Twitter right now. The name Scott Foster may not mean much to the general person, but...
Ref.
Correct.
Right.
He is an official tonight for Game 7 between the Rockets and the Thunder.
Okay.
You may be wondering, what does this all mean?
What's this all mean, Basil?
According to Adam Spillane, who works for a Houston radio station, the Rockets have lost their last 7 games officiated by Scott Foster.
Wow.
While Chris Paul's teams have lost the last 9 games officiated by Scott Foster.
Well, of course, remember, he used to play for the Rockets as well, so part of that is bleed over there, right? So this is the something's got to give, the immovable object against the irresistible force?
Correct.
Okay, you can make my pick a little bit later. Any more?
Yeah, last thing we will hit on here, back to the NFL. Kansas City Chiefs got their Super Bowl championship rings. Someone else got a nice ring yesterday. Patrick Mahomes proposed to his longtime girlfriend, Brittany Matthews. Congrats to the happy couple.
Pretty amazing story, really. You know, like, there's been a lot discussed about why the Bears chose Mitch Trubisky ahead of him. You know, nine other teams passed on him. I know that for the fact the Chargers, who took Forrest Lamp, who got hurt, and they're kicking themselves. Like, that could have been our heir apparent to Philip Rivers. Obviously, Jacksonville, they had Blake Bortles, but there's a team that could have. Like, you go, he's the best player in the league. But the Bears are the one that are being chastised the most because, well, they evaluated all three quarterbacks at their pro day. They didn't really even engage with Deshaun Watson. They weren't. They something about Deshaun Watson they didn't love, and so it was between those two. And they just thought that Pat Mahomes, you know, off the field. What I was told was on the field footwork was bad. Didn't want he shouldn't play right away, and they felt like they didn't feel like he was a great leader. Wasn't a bad leader, but he wasn't a great leader. You know, he missed some meetings. General kind of like he was like a regular college kid. Whereas Mitchell Trubisky was like the perfect guy that everybody liked, and they were trying to replace a quarterback that nobody liked, right? They had a quarterback that was so, in Jay Cutler, that was so poorly thought of, he actually, at the end of his career with the Bears, had to dress in a different dressing room than the rest of the team. So Trubisky, everybody loved, and they took Trubisky. But what's interesting about it is, any question you would have had about Mahomes, forget about on the field is great, off the field, like, the guy's been next to perfect. And sometimes those scouting reports hit. Sometimes a guy has a flaw, has baggage, and it comes out. In the case of Pat Mahomes, it couldn't have been more wrong. This dude seems to be the perfect face, not just of the Chiefs, but of the NFL. And that's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, I got some thoughts on Alvin Kamara here real quickly before Joey Logano is going to join us. When Joey Logano's going to join us? Okay. I'll give you the Alvin Kamara expected to practice today, what he and his agent missed on in negotiations, plus Joey Logano around the corner. That's next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. You know what? I got to tell you what. Well, we got Joey Logano set to join us. That actually is the best for last. We'll get to the best for last. He's getting. Yeah, let's do it. Let's call it the best for last.
It's almost the end of the show, but that doesn't mean we're phoning it in. Nope, we grind to the very last segment. It's time for best for last.
Instead of doing a top 10 list like we did yesterday, let's have the best interview of the day, shall we? Joey Logano joins us. Of course, he's been a NASCAR Cup champion. You go back to 2018 and... Look, now we're getting ready for the playoffs. But, Joey, thanks so much for joining us. What happened at the end of the last regular season race, going back to last weekend, at Daytona? Some people blame you. Some people blame Denny Hamlin for the wreck. What happened?
Come on, I've been trying to forget about it. You're going to bring that off right off the bat.
Yes, right off the bat.
Super speedway racing ends up like that sometimes at the end of the races, and I got tagged from behind with from the 11, and just he wasn't centered up to my back bumper. And when you get pushes like that, they need to be centered up. And it's no one's fault. It's just part of what it is. The aggressive level is very high at the end of these things. And when I got tagged in the right rear, that shoved me to the right pretty hard, and I ran into the 43. And then that cut down my right rear tire, which – then I spun out in front of the whole field, which is a horrible feeling, and also tore up a few other cars along with that. So just racing, if you ask me. I mean, Denny didn't do it on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're not going to try to tag someone in front of the whole field like that ever. But it's just the end of the race when nobody's lifting, and there's a lot of contact. And usually someone goes spinning. Unfortunately, it was us after a great run, winning a couple stages, and we ended up in the wall. But hey, it's part of it, and the good news is we were leading when it happened. So, you know, we were in position to win, and we gotta be proud of that.
That's good news. That feels like bad news to me. You're leading when it happened. That feels like awful news. I was going to win, and then I didn't win, and then And I like that. That is definitely a silver. Your silver lining. Yeah, and for reason, it wasn't like you screwed up. Somebody hit you from behind. Like, yo, I was gonna win, and then you hit me from behind. That's a good thing.
I mean, I'd rather have won. Trust me, but. If you're going to crash, at least you're up front. It's better than running 30th and then crashing. That's even worse. So
yeah, kind of Joey, kind of feels like when you were kicking your brother's butt in Madden or something, right? And suddenly he walks by and turns off the machine. You're like, whoa! And you're like, hey, at least you were winning. Like, no, I didn't get to win the game. So there is.
I guess so.
Okay, so you talked about earlier this week about like kind of pushing through the walls and things that held you back that you learned in your championship season. If you were leading the race at the end of Daytona, what walls do you need to correct to push through in the playoffs?
Well, I think we're pretty close to where we need to be. We've been here before and we know what to do and how these playoffs work. We just got to work our plan, execute the three races at a time, and put ourselves in position in Phoenix in the championship race to win. And that's what we have to do. We know how to do it. Each race kind of calls for something different, so it's hard to answer your question.
Yep.
Everything's a little track specific, but, for overall plan, this first round is just don't screw up. We have some playoff points in the bank. We just need to be smart and work through these races and do a good job.
Joe.
Now, as you go from round to round,
yeah,
the intensity starts picking up, and you gotta really be able to win when it matters. When you look at what the points that Harvick and Denny have accumulated by winning so many races this year, we're a little behind. We're fourth in points, from the seeding standpoint, but we're a little behind there, and we need to make that up as it goes. So. They'll have a mulligan essentially to get by, and we will not. So we just got to be perfect, and we can do that.
NASCAR Cup Series has a 16 driver playoff field set for the 2020 season. Okay, the round of 16 beginning this Saturday at Darlington. Of course, former champion Joey Logano joins us at Richmond September 12th, and then Bristol on the 19th. And conclude with the round of 16. Joey Logano joining us here in the herd. Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin. You went from the youngest guy on the circuit to now guys like Eric Jones, who, like you, with Joe Gibbs, he was released by Joe Gibbs Racing. And now you're like the old wily vet. Like, let's go have lunch. Let's discuss your future. Obviously, you've seen great success with Team Penske. What's that like from going from being the youngest guy to now being somebody like Eric Jones wants to discuss how to be more like you as an old wily vet?
I guess I never really thought of it that way. I'm only 30, all right? So give me a break here to start off with. But, when I looked at Eric's situation, it's just too similar to what I've gone through. And I feel like just as a person, I needed to reach out and just say, hey, if you need anybody to talk to, I've been there before. I'm not the one just going out there saying I need to help everybody and give advice or all these different things, but I just felt like it's so similar to what I've gone through that. And I felt for him because I've been there and I remember how hard it was, at the time. And, just kind of realizing that, looking back at it, it was something I needed to mature. I needed that to kind of guide me into where God really needed me in life. And if it wasn't for that, I look at the best moments of my life now because it guided me where I needed to be. But in the moment, it's awful. It's hard. And I think of Eric doing it, and his dad passed away a couple of years ago, and doing that way, it's a hard thing to do. So I just wanted to talk to him about it, but, and try to help if I can. He's a good person, and he's going to end up in a good place, I hope. And hopefully have kind of the same thing that went for me. And if not, it wasn't made out for him. It would be something different. But I think he'll end up somewhere pretty good.
All right. Kind of quickly here, Joey, you mentioned that every track is different. Darlington, what are the challenges that Darlington presents to you?
Oh, everything. They call it the track too tough to tame. And that's the truth. It is a very challenging track. 500 miles around this place, it feels like the longest race of the year. You're right on the edge the whole time, running inches from the wall, and one mistake cuts down a tire, or one mistake on pit road can take you out of this thing, and it's the first race of the playoffs. So it's one of those races you got to be perfect for a long time, and you're exhausted. It's the most physical and mentally demanding race of the year.
Joey, listen, can't tell you how much I enjoy watching your race. Wish you success and a safe run. And we don't want Denny bumping into you again when you're about to win one of these races. I do wonder if every guy you bumped into, you're like, my bad, sorry, my bad, my bad.
Well, maybe the roles are reversed.
Maybe it is reversed. Although you won't end your race by bumping into anybody else. Joey, best of luck in Darlington. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, thanks, man. Have a
good All right, day. That's Joey Logano. So he's like, I'm only 30. Like, yeah, you've been doing this for more than a decade. And kind of that way. All right, we got playoffs tonight. And it's a game 7. Houston's a 5.5-point favorite. And it's one of those things that in game 7, generally, the best player separates himself. You look back to LeBron when he won his second championship with the Heat. And they played the Spurs. And everybody was out of gas except for LeBron James. I'm going to be fascinated by tonight because if the Rockets lose, D'Antoni's gone. I think Daryl Morey's probably gone. And there's the possibility that you start to think about, like, do we move on from James Harden? Especially as poorly as he's played in key playoff games and those stats of a 23% three-point shooter in fourth quarters and overtimes in the last 5 years in the playoffs. I think the Rockets win. I think the Rockets are far better than Oklahoma City. But, man, I do kind of root for chaos, and chaos would be Oklahoma City winning. Then you got Milwaukee and Miami. Still like Miami, feeling like a more confident bunch. All right, we'll be back tomorrow to discuss it. In for Colin, I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.